they were the first ones to create, you know, these super boars that had three-dimensional cowls either on top of them or hanging over the side of them or climbing up the pole, you know, all this stuff with just very, very fundamental messaging with that great campaign of the cows, you know, promoting chicken.
All right, episode 171. We're back, Rob.
We're back.
We should have named the podcast "We're Back."
We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Just like Rush is back.
It's too late. We've already talked about Rush on like a previous podcast.
Can you ever talk about Rush too much? I'm not sure that you can.
Well, if this was a Rush podcast, then yeah, you never can. But I don't know that everybody wants to hear about the Rush. So otherwise, I'm going to start talking about Iron Maiden, and nobody wants to hear about that. I'm getting fired up. So a buddy of mine saw them at Hellfest in France. It's literally called Hellfest. It's like a 3-day, only made more hilarious by the fact that France is having
the hottest, it is
the hottest it has ever been in the recorded. Like the government is putting out notices like, do not drink outside, do not drink alcohol anymore, like stop drinking wine, like you need to hydrate. Like people are dying. I mean, like it's like 100
people are dying. They're drowned. I heard like 18 people have drowned because they were so hot that they had to go swimming.
It's
not funny, but
so it's, yeah, it's meanwhile crazy. My buddy is sending me Instagram posts of Bruce Dickinson doing the whole deal right at Hellfest.
I wonder who else is on the lineup of Hellfest.
Oh dude, everybody's there. I mean, Megadeth was there, all these other crazy Cannibal Corpse style type bands.
You could probably only read half the names of the bands on the lineup poster because they're all just death metal.
Yeah, death metal logos. Yeah, I've never understood that thing. Why make it so hard to read the name of your own band, you know? Like,
John, half of these bands you can't understand
what they're because
they're just grunting. So I think universally, it's we don't want noise.
I guess I don't know how to. Speaking of making things hard to read, but actually that should be easy to read, right? Things that want to be consumed very, very quickly. We thought we'd take a break from all the AI and SEO and da 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 and kick it old school, man. Let's talk outdoor boards, you know?
Outdoor boards or
the long lost tactic, right? That you could say. There are brands out there that only did outdoor boards to literally get, you know, up and running and things like that. You can't necessarily say it's the cheapest methodology, right? Because it is kind of would you agree it's kind of a real estate play? I mean, different markets, different costs for boards and availability and, you know, exposure and traffic patterns and things like that, right?
So. Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, the way that the billboard companies, you know, give you their metrics, it's, I'll call them inflated metrics to a certain degree, meaning it's okay. Well, you know, in Atlanta, for example, you know, you got your prime, you know, along 85, let's say, right? High traffic area. And, you know, they'll put together pricing on, you know, however many millions of cars pass by it in a day.
And
that's how they sell you on the numbers, which is factually accurate.
Sure. Sure.
But, you know, one would venture to guess that probably only 25%.
But don't put your death metal band, don't put your death metal band logo up there for 8 million people to drive by at 90 miles an hour and not being able to read it, right?
No, but funny you say that, because do you remember right at the corner of the connector, 7585 and 14th Street, local Atlanta company that's gone on to do big things, MailChimp, put up a billboard that was the MailChimp in a death metal style.
Oh, I do remember that.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
You remember that? It was awesome. I remember driving to work one day because I passed right at that intersection. It was like, oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
Like, what does that say? And it took me a minute.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm totally full of it because it's totally happened and it was totally badass. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I always say, like, you know, the great ads make you work for it for just a second. And that was a perfect example of that done well on an outdoor board. It was like, what is that?
Do you recall if that was pre Intuit purchase or post? I don't remember.
I I don't know, but if I had to guess, I would say pre.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Because they used to do just awesome, cool stuff. Their billboard was great around town.
Yeah, yeah.
Super fun. But I think, you know, there's definitely a place in the world for outdoor boards, you know, for fun brands and branding. And we've had the pleasure of working on a couple kick-ass brands, I'd say, that we got to do a ton of outdoor board for. You obviously started SPSU and doing all that outdoor board stuff way back in the day. And then we carried that forward, you know, before they were unceremoniously put together with Kennesaw State by the Board of Regents, I think, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, so, that's
but, right. But yeah, a lot of fun old SPSU stuff. And then, I love it.
Yeah, well, then you had traditional boards, which are, again, for those who don't know, it's actually vinyl. They're just giant vinyl banners wrapped around to make the board. And so you had those. And obviously production on those is kind of a pain. It's expensive. You got to go install it, do all the things. So then I don't remember when digital came along, right? But then you had the digital influence on the boards, which, you know, from a buying perspective is great because now you can, now they just sell rotations, right? So you'll have 8 advertisers on a board and they'll just rotate out every 10 seconds. So I would say that was a huge leap for the
Rob, you're missing the step of that horrible triangular thing that would chunk rotate, right?
Oh, that's right.
It wasn't a lenticular, because lenticular is like you look at it from this side, it's one way.
Right.
You look at it from that side, it's right. Like, remember that there was that circular one up on top of that building on Peach. It's like, oh, and Verizon had that one triple, like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like,
no bueno.
I hated those things. Because from a design perspective, there's these giant gutters in between every one of those vertical like blinds, and then when it flips, oh, it looks so bad.
It never worked right.
One of them was always not doing the right thing or something. Yeah. Oh my God, so funny. So,
but I think that allowed people to have, I would say spend less and have a more effective outdoor buy because they could bounce all around the city.
Yeah,
and not have to commit to this one board, which was ridiculously expensive back in the day. So that was. That technology, I think, applied to billboards was interesting. And not only did it, from a media standpoint and a media saving standpoint, but it opened up, what I would say is creative opportunities for people. We took advantage of that. We did a campaign for Rood, which is the HVAC manufacturer, right? And so
I love this campaign.
It was great. It was great. We came up with this. We did the digital buy. And on our boards, we tied them to the actual temperature outside, right? And as the temperature climbed, in a bid to talk to people about entertaining way about air conditioning, as the temperature rise with each degree, the messaging would change.
Totally.
So when it hit 90 degrees, it would say, and I'm trying to remember some of the lines, but, at 90 degrees, it would say it's cats can't wait to go swimming hot. Right. Yeah. Little lines like that.
I think one of them was like your sweat is sweating or something.
Yeah, even your sweat is sweating.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I think it was from 90 to 100 degrees or something. It's spontaneous combustion hot.
Yeah.
Things like that. And so that was a fun, I feel like, use of digital and, technology, what seemed like advanced technology at the time.
Yeah.
We're dating ourselves. But a nice way to just use creative messaging and a creative tactic on outdoor boards.
No, that's a great confluence of technology with what you would consider an old school, method or tactic, right? Like outdoor boards. What? But it's like, to your point, it's not just one outdoor board printed and stuck on the side of the road for the next 6 weeks, right? It's, 15 different pieces of creative that are all, weather trigger activated, right? And makes that drive time experience, maybe a little bit more interesting for people, right? Because we're not seeing the same thing over and over and over again, right? But we designed it in a manner where there is that brand consistency, and then it's just, hey, what temperature it is, and then what the message is, which I think is really, really cool. Like, just message forward, right? We did it for the winter too, didn't we? Didn't we flip it? And we did when things are cold as well, you know what I mean? And these ran in Atlanta. They ran in Charlotte, I think. Was there another market that we ran these things in?
I think it was Atlanta and Charlotte. I think that's right. Okay. It was someone. Yeah, it's someone please spill coffee on me cold, right?
Yeah.
It's cows are making ice cream cold. You know, even polar bears are shivering cold. So yeah, we did it for the opposite as well. So a fun campaign, good use of outdoor. I'm looking at this cup on my desk. For lunch, I had that.
Yeah. Right?
Speaking of iconic outdoor campaigns.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit earlier about that's kind of how they started, right? With outdoor. And it wasn't just messaging. I mean, they were the first ones to create, you know, these super boards that had three-dimensional cows on top of them or hanging over the side of them or climbing up the pole, you know, all this stuff with just very, very fundamental messaging with that great campaign of the cows,
promoting chicken.
And they're still around today.
They would tie things in seasonal, right? So it'd be, there'd be like a springtime message. There'd always be like a football message, you know, every once in a while. I think I remember there being like, it's not left wing or right wing. And it was like one of the presidential elections or whatever. And it was eat more chicken, or I could be making that up. But you know, they had some good evergreen scenarios, but then they would bring in, but keep those same dimensional cows where they were.
Right.
And they were always like, you know, painting the board, right? So it had the bad grammar or the backwards letter or whatever like that. I love that. And you could, you know, you could definitely make that argument. I mean, for 20 years at least, they didn't do any television at all, Chick-fil-A, right? I mean, it was all outdoor boards and it was all like local grand activation, you know, the grand store openings and things like that, right? It was kind of more, you know, I don't want to say traditional, but it was simple. It was a little bit simpler, right? It wasn't just sponsorship and on TV all the time, right? It was more local marketing, which I thought
that may be the longest running outdoor campaign
ever.
I mean, it's still, those boards are still alive. Still running. So I'd be curious to think about when those launched.
How do you feel about their TV? I mean, I know we're not talking about, you know, TV and stuff like that, but like, do you like the campaign, the people-centric campaign and what I like about Chick-fil-A and things like that?
It doesn't really do a whole lot for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for me. I mean, honestly, this is one of those like, and I get you got to refresh campaigns and things, but honestly, the cows was done so well.
I know.
Could just go on forever and ever and ever and
just
ever.
Keep the cows.
I get people want to switch things up and new CMOs come in and all this kind of stuff. Like I get the politics of it, but why you would abandon that? And they haven't abandoned that. They still run the cows. They still do the cows and things like that.
Yeah.
But no, the new people centric stuff doesn't really do a whole
lot.
I'm totally with you.
So I guess, you know, it's interesting. I mean, there's this giant brand, right, that you could make the argument really started because, I mean, not started because, but was supported really by outdoor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just forever, right? And, you know, outdoor is not necessarily for everybody, I don't think, right? I mean, there aren't, I mean, it's interesting. You go to San Francisco and like, it's all outdoor traditional boards for AI and all tech stuff, right? Which to me is like a like it's just because it's, you know, up the Bayshore and driving around and it's exposure, it's eyeballs. That's all it is, right?
Right.
But I think, you know, it's interesting for marketing directors to like not necessarily just immediately assume you need to do a Google AdWords. Are there other things you can do that are kind of more traditional? Sometimes, man, direct mail, tactile things in the mail still totally works. You know what I mean? I'm a fan of the, you know, don't necessarily do what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, a lot of it has to do, quite frankly, with, you know, there are metrics tied to everything.
Yeah.
There just are. And with digital, you can literally, ROI can be directly tied to how many people clicked on a specific ad on a specific website and they spend a specific amount of money. And I mean, which is great. But I think it makes people nervous, right? This idea of like, I'm going to throw a board up there and not really know what the monetary return on that is.
Here's that Toyota Tundra billboard up there. Did that sell more Tundra?
That sell a car? You're right.
Yeah. I mean,
as you and I know, the billboards aren't really about the selling of the car. It's more about when it comes time for me to buy a car. Toyota's going to be.
It's going to be in the mindset somewhere.
Yeah. You know who outdoor boards are for? They're for attorneys.
Oh God.
And I don't really know why that is.
Strong arm.
But yeah, John Foy, the strong arm. Morgan.
Martlick. Yeah. Morgan and Morgan. Yeah. How many billions of dollars did Morgan and Morgan get for people?
You know? It is. And I don't know why I don't know why that industry really adopted billboards as passionately as they have. I don't know
that. And bus advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you think people know that those businesses are just aggregators, though? Or do you think that they think that they're hiring Motlick, you know, an associate? You know what I mean? Like,
no, I think most people don't know that they're just aggregators.
Yeah. No. I mean, maybe that's why it has to be because they do a lot of, don't they do a lot of drive time radio and stuff too? They do
a lot of radio.
Yeah. So, radio. I mean, it has to be just, it's a scattershot approach and it's for the media itself, it's, you know, it can be cost effective, right? If you buy so much of it, right?
I mean,
you can negotiate good deals, I think, right? But yeah, you do bring up a really good point that, you know, injury law, you know, but even like, now that you got me thinking about it, it's you got those three big guys, John Foy and Morgan, you know, but like you've also got the My Bald Lawyer going up.
Oh, yeah.
You got the onesie twosies, you know?
Absolutely.
You got the guy that's like, I speak Spanish. You know what I mean? You got like all those.
That's
you
right.
Know, you know, yeah, that is a weird one, man.
Maybe it's the same reason that, not to knock realtors, but realtors decided at some point in time collectively we have to put our headshots
we have to put our
on
face
all of our ads we have to put our headshots
I mean they have their headshots like on their business cards that they're like
that's
handing
right
to you, you know?
That's right. And yeah. That's another phenomenon that I don't know why that is. I can't
I am a real person, you know?
It's strange, you know?
That's funny.
It's a weird thing. I don't know.
Well, I guess this is a funny meandering podcast to just maybe remind marketing directors that, hey, some traditional methods, you know, keep them in the back of the mind. They still absolutely work. And then just like the example you provided with Rude, you know, you can use a traditional method in a new and exciting manner. Right.
Yeah.
And do something creative with it, which I think is pretty neat. So,
I think it's great. I think it's good stuff. And there's a lot of, too, if you're so inclined, go look up just creative outdoor boards. And there's a host of examples of just really cool stuff that people have done throughout the years, including ourselves.
Yeah.
All right. Outdoor. Go for it. Well, if people don't see our outdoor board by chance, where else can the people find us?
They can find us on all the socials and they can find us online at mocktheagency.com.
That's right.
You know?
We can track them and know exactly where they came from.
Exactly. We're dropping cookies on people. We're doing. So, chug a chip, please. Chug a chip. So, I'll take a peanut
butter. All right, everybody. That wraps up 171.
We'll see you next time.